Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Leroy Dragon!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Dirt got fired. He's looking for a job. Don't hire him. He's just stay away from the guy. It's sports radio, 1080 The Fan, not with Dirt. Sorry, dude.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What is a Sprague? We should just call him Craig. Yeah, that's your new name, Craig.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I'm here to support a friend and a work colleague.
You don't know what love is.
Love you very much, Brandon.
The Fan.
Let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Swigard just sent us an email about having Holly Saunders on the show. I said, yeah, I think so. I think we can have her on. I think so. So we'll see if we can book that.
Anybody else sweating?
Did it get hot in here? To me,
it's warm in this room. Can you stop breathing? Your breathing is warm.
So, yeah.
Why
so
are these pictures attached to the email?
Look, full disclosure.
I know these aren't even your
no,
images.
No. It's from her PR, her reps,
yeah,
or
yeah.
whoever.
You know, it's just it's a friendly email.
I'm getting red. What do we do here?
I got a phone call to make after the show.
Yeah, well, go ahead and reach out. If there's a number attached to it, you know. Okay. Let's get to some stuff in the final hour, shall we? That distracted
us. We got any ice?
Brian Bennett's going to join us.
Why do you need these pictures to try to get somebody to interview her?
In case somebody didn't know who she was by chance.
Here's a midriff picture of Holly in a baseball clubhouse wearing a hat going.
I love how this... I love that you wanted to see how the email starts just for the listeners behind the scenes. We get these kind of emails. It's from a public relations group. It says, hi, Jason.
That's a good golf swing.
Yeah. So, hi, Jason. From the court to the field to the fairway and everywhere in between, Fox Sports sensation Holly Saunders is the most knowledgeable friend a sports fan can have. And then it includes a picture of her playing golf in a tight shirt and her wearing, it appears to be an Arizona Cardinals hat because I believe she's dating Cliff Kingsbury and she's not wearing much else.
I swear to God, I'm getting lightheaded.
So, let's get her on the show, Swag. Let's see what we can do there, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we're on that.
I just opened it up and without reading, right. Saw the midriff picture.
That's all you needed to know.
And then Swag's response, as if I need to ask. And I'm like, what is this email about?
What is happening here? Hey, did you know that the Major League Baseball season ridiculously begins tomorrow night?
Well, is it 2:30 here this morning?
Yeah, this morning.
Oh, it's this tonight.
Oh, like in 12
they're
hours.
You're right. I totally got that threw me off. Yes, yeah. It is. So it is tonight at 2:30 in the morning.
Are Mariner fans gonna take a nap and then wake up at like
Valid point. No, I don't think they will. Maybe
or
some.
Or do Portland fans want to get their first look at potentially their new team?
Go
that route.
That's a very good point. Who are we getting in 4 years?
Yeah, they were in the playoffs. Our A's were in the playoffs last year.
Well, let's need to study the farm system now.
right.
See what it's looking like for 2022. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago because remember they made the decision to not start Felix Hernandez on opening day, ending the longest streak in Major League Baseball of an opening day starter. He had started like 10 straight opening days for Seattle. And the excuses were twofold. One, his ERA is 15 in the spring, so no, that's not going to fly. And the other one is, like, we're trying to win here, and we're not doing this nostalgia stuff. We're trying to win ball games, and it makes the most sense to start a better pitcher than Felix Hernandez, okay? We kind of disagreed, said you're not playing for much this year. Team's likely going to be bad. You maybe owe it to him because he's been great for a long time. What do you lose by putting him out there on opening day in Japan? Well...
remember the reaction we got on the text line on that? It was like, yeah, you don't owe him anything. He's
a lot of
not
Mariner fans
good.
Said that, right? We heard that from a lot of Mariner fans. We don't owe him anything. He's over the hill. It should be, the goal should be to win. Why would you start him, right? Well, they're starting somebody else on opening day. Tonight, 2:30 in the morning, there will be a player in their starting lineup by the name of Ichiro Suzuki. Ever heard of him? He's pretty good. Not anymore, though. He is going to start and play right field for them tonight.
Yeah.
Do you care to guess? Care to guess? Swigart, I don't know if you've seen this. I know Sprague knows it.
Yeah.
What his batting average this spring is?
Oh, this spring?
This spring.
I don't even think he's above 100. It's like 087 or something.
It's 080.
Yeah. But he still has a cannon.
He's hitting 080 below 100. You know what Scott Service said about this?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think Ichiro, because they asked him about the future, yeah. Like, because they have a 28-man roster for now, and then it gets pared down to 25 right. Once they get back from Japan. And they asked, well, is he under some pressure to get some hits? He's hitting below 100. Like, what's going to happen here? Service said, I don't think he's under any pressure. He's certainly earned the right to partake in this series.
Yeah, and then he's getting cut when they get back.
Well, but hold on. Remember the Felix thing.
How can you, out of one side of your mouth, say winning is the most important thing, we can't start Felix, and then throw a guy hitting below 100 against minor league pitching in spring training into your opening day starting lineup?
It's pretty easy, though, with Service. I think this is about relationships. One is he has a great relationship with, and the other one does not care about him. I think we could figure it out based on his comments and actions.
This would drive me nuts if I were a Mariner fan. I get the look. It's cool. He's home. The fans, the scene there. He's signing autographs. I understand all of that. You're playing him in the spring training games or the game or the exhibition games against Japanese teams. Like, that's all cool. You want to throw him out there as a defensive replacement late in the game. You want to get him an at bat in one of the games in this series. But to put him in the opening day lineup. And say that, like, you're actually trying to win.
Yeah, don't tell me he deserves it and then that Felix doesn't.
It is laughable.
That's where you lose me.
It makes no sense.
Well, and I think Mariner fans who may have been conflicted on this, we've got an answer. I think Felix has just been knocked down another notch of the all-time Mariner list.
Dude.
For even the people that maybe contemplated having, like, if you asked a John Sukanik, I would be willing to bet John Sukanik thinks Felix better in the history of the Mariners than Ichiro. Do you?
Yes. He also hates Ichiro.
He would like Felix more than Ichiro.
Right.
Pretty clear indication the team feels differently. And this goes back to my larger point. I understand a lot of time in sports how we shouldn't hold on. We've been bashing the Giants and Eli, right?
Right.
The Giants could have had their swan song with Eli last year. They could have done it the year before.
Here's our guy. Give him one more chance.
But they refuse to. That's where you lose me. If you do it, okay. Dirk's going to be in Portland on Wednesday. Portland should win that game, but guess what? A lot of people should go see Dirk one more time and say thank you for having such a great career and transforming a lot of what the NBA is into what it is nowadays.
Although he is hinting now, though. Do you see it not retiring? He's had comments saying, like, well, I don't know.
He can't run. I know. Have you seen him run?
Give it up, buddy.
It looks like you trying to do squats the day after leg day.
Not it's good, like, man. Nope. Like, nobody needs to see this. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. Like, this does not go well.
It'd be like you just going squatting down. You're like, nope, I'm just going to sit. Just going to sit.
I'm thinking of Bridesmaids when she poops in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
It's happening. It's happening.
I think there is a time and place, and I think people can get extended too long. Don't tell me Felix is not worth giving one more opening day start. Even if he gets shown a couple innings, whatever. Don't tell me he's not. And then the next week, tell me Ichiro is hitting under 100 in spring training.
He's hitting 080.
Yeah, just that you're a hypocrite and it makes no damn sense at that point.
Do people realize how bad that is? I mean, I hope people understand how awful that is.
Yes.
Like, Tim Tebow, I think, had a better spring training than Ichiro.
He for sure did.
I think he at least got to 100 or a buck 25.
Both are deserving of the honor. If you want to start Ichiro, go ahead and say this is it for him. We're in Japan. Okay. You should also be starting Felix opening day, whether that's in Japan or at home. One or the other wouldn't bother me, but he should be doing that. And that's where you lose me, is telling me one guy's worth it, the other guy's not. Both players were amazing.
Scott Service said, I'm excited for him. It hasn't been a great spring training for him offensively, but if there's anybody who can turn it on for a few days, it's certainly Ichiro.
Has any team made an opening day roster hitting under 100 in spring training history?
No, I'd be willing to bet that's never happened.
That's Willie Hayes Mays territory where you're taken out on your bed.
Willie Mays Hayes, yeah.
Get out of here.
He keeps popping everything up. Get your butt on base, man. So they got a 28-man roster. Watching how this unfolds, I think, in the next couple of weeks is going to be really interesting, because if he somehow finds a way on that 25-man roster.
And we got two people text in, Felix sucks. Guess what? Starting pitching is important. If he was showing anything, then okay. Ichiro plays right field, not as important as the pitcher. He's Japanese icon. Felix is not. Another person, the batter has less impact from a one person. Felix can lose a single game by himself.
Sure, but do people at least understand the point of the argument?
If you're trying,
you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that we are doing everything we can to try and win and then say we're starting Ichiro in right field.
Right. How many other teams are starting a below 100 hitter?
Like, if you want to play the nostalgia angle, that's fine. But if you tell me you can't start Felix because you want to win, you can't then say we're starting Ichiro because we want to win. That doesn't make any damn sense. The guy's hitting below 100 against minor league pitching in spring training.
Yeah, this listener's hung up. We're not trying to tell you right field is important as pitching. Our point is your team's going to suck.
Right, which was our argument for Felix. Like, if your team's going to suck, why don't you throw him out there?
He can't throw one inning. He's going to give up 15 runs in the first inning. Do we really think that's going to happen? If you do, then okay. But my point is, like, you can get over having the one probably bad start for Felix by pitching him just a couple innings, just allowing him to have one more opening day start. And the grand scheme of what your season will be is not going to matter.
He had 6 at-bats and 2 exhibition games against the Yomiuri Giants. Yomiuri?
Sure.
Sure.
I thought it was the Yomiuri.
Yomiuri. He went 0-for-6. So he's starting, though, tonight, 2:30. Wake up. We'll see how many Mariner fans wake up and watch that game. It's going to happen overnight.
Their ownership group's Japanese, too, right?
I believe so.
The Nintendo Bros?
I believe so. Nintendo Bros, yeah. Yep, they're going to be there. Sure. They're playing at 2:30. There you go. Ichiro in the opening day lineup. Hey, we'll talk to Brian Bennett, get some tournament stuff coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have some way too early college football lines out, though. I'm jacked.
Oh, God. I'm Dog jacked. Johnson's barking, isn't
Dog
he?
Dog Johnson is barking all over that opening weekend of college football.
We'll get to some
of
those, more dogs.
Get to some of those next on the Fib. Hey, we'll talk to Brian Bennett coming up bottom of the hour. There are tournament games tonight, including our boys, our Fairleigh Dickinson Knights. They're playing tonight. 3:40 is when that game starts. We have some college football lines I want to get to here in a moment. We do have a college football note, though, today. And I've seen a lot of people with, doomsday predictions on this, if it were to happen. So I think it is significant to point out. Remember Tate Martell?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Tate Martell.
He was the backup at Ohio State, and he was the next in line, and then Justin Fields transferred in. So Tate Martell said, I'm going to leave because he's going to start over me, and he's better than me. Well, he decided to transfer to Miami, and he has been requesting immediate eligibility at Miami so he doesn't have to sit out here like most do when you appear in the number of games that he appeared in. He was granted immediate eligibility at Miami. And I've seen a lot of people, like, usually you have to request some form of hardship. Like, Justin Fields did this when he transferred from Georgia to Ohio State. He was granted it because there was racial stories going on, and he had claimed, and I think it was found to be true, that there was some other athletes yelling racial slurs at him during a football game, something along those lines. And so he was granted a hardship, and he was allowed to play right away at Ohio State. Martell didn't really have any of that. Like, he had no basis, no argument, nothing to really lean on to be granted a hardship to be able to play right away, yet the NCAA just simply allowed it. Now, a lot of people don't think this is a big deal because people think they should be able to transfer and play right away anyways. But I've seen a lot of people, you know, try and make this argument, like, if Martell is granted this and he wins this case and he plays next year at Miami, which he now will, this will further drive the turn to free agency in college football because guys now feel like it is an easy, it's an easy path. You don't have to have any hardship. You don't have to have any reason. You could transfer, apply to be instated right away and win that battle with the NCAA.
Well, I think the fear would be that the committees or whoever is deciding to grant eligibility would eventually try to go the other way if there were too many transfers. That they would go, oh, everybody's picking up on this. Tate Martell was eligible. The problem is that ruling would not hold up because now you have set the precedent with Tate Martell. What's the reason for this guy? Yeah, it's that. Okay, that's good. What about Justin Fields? Oh, he had a racial slur yelled at him. Okay. What about Tate Martell?
Oh.
He committed and decommitted from like 4 colleges. He transferred out of high school. And now he wants to play right away at Miami. Why did he get granted eligibility right away? I don't know, but now everybody should be able to.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I think guys should be able to transfer and play right away. I don't necessarily like that rule, and I never have. It's just a lot of people were poo-pooing the number of kids in the transfer portal this offseason. And I'm just, I think I do kind of agree with that scenario. Like, if this is to happen, what's to keep other guys? Just the second they see any sort of, hey, I'm not going to play, or hey, I'm low on the depth chart, I'm going to go somewhere else and I can play right away and get that granted. So it's something to keep an eye on. But Tim Martell will be playing next year for Miami. That's going to happen. He's likely going to be their starting quarterback, and he is already involved in spring practice for them. BetOnline.ag is a good source for point spreads in sports, and they have come out with opening college football lines, and these aren't just for the opening weekend of the season. These are for really throughout the entire year and labeling some bigger games, and I want to rattle through some of these. Speaking of Miami, get this one. Florida and Miami play each other in the kind of first week of the season. They play on August 24th, and that game got moved up a week. Remember, I think they asked to get it moved up, and it did. Florida is an 8.5-point favorite over Miami right now.
That one's tough because I don't know what Manny Diaz is going to be able to do in year one.
And how good is Tate Martell right away? Like,
well, he's got to be a really good player, right? Ohio State and now Miami wanted him. But
so if you're buying into Tate Martell, you might want to take those points because they're getting 8.5. And it's a neutral site game, so it's going to be an evenly split fan base.
Where is it played?
I believe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it's in Orlando.
Okay, so it'll be that. It's still a little more Florida Gator fan probably, but Dan Mullen year two. Is Felipe Frank still their quarterback? Because I might take Miami plus the 8.
Felipe, it's a fun name to say. On August 31st, you got a couple of games, including the Oregon Ducks. The other game that day, Florida State. I want to make sure I got that right. Florida State is playing Boise State that day.
Give me Boise State.
Florida State's favored by 4.5.
I'll take Boise State plus the 4.5.
You're not getting horny for Taggart?
I'm not going to go in on Brooke.
Okay, the other game, of course, Oregon. So that Oregon-Auburn game, opening line on that. Oregon is a 3-point underdog to Auburn.
It's going to be a home game for Auburn. That's a little respect for the Ducks. That's a pick 'em.
Yeah, because you're giving them the home field 3 points. We had a couple people, because you tweeted this out with our show page this morning.
Yeah.
A couple people said this is all Washington's fault. Like, if Washington would have won that game, then Oregon would be favored.
No.
So Oregon is opening as a 3-point dog to Auburn. If you like the Ducks' chances, might want to take advantage of that. Some of the other notable games early on, USC and Stanford. How about this one surprised me? So they play early every year, September 7th.
It's always like the second game of the
year. Yeah, like week two of the season. USC is a 4-point favorite over Stanford right now.
I will take Stanford.
Is anybody buying that?
I mean, you could. Maybe JT Daniels is going to be a lot better and save Clay Helton, but I will take Stanford.
Yeah. Speaking of which, within the respect for programs, not necessarily there for Stanford. So they're a 4-point dog to USC. The following week after that, Stanford plays at Central Florida, which is, I mean, at least Central Florida is finally playing a relevant opponent.
I can't believe Stanford agreed to go there.
Stanford's only favored by 2.5.
I don't get that move.
What do you get out of that game? It's the old argument of why would you go to Boise State?
Right.
Because it's their Super Bowl. They're going to be up. Like, of course they're jacked for that game. Like, if you beat them, you're supposed to. They're a lower level opponent. If you lose, it's a major negative. Positive.
What's the committee said? Not that Stanford's going to be a playoff team next year, but what has the committee basically told us? Your strength of schedule does not matter.
Yeah.
Play nobodies, and then if you win your conference, we'll reward you with a playoff spot.
You can find a way to get in. So they're only a 2.5-point favorite at Central Florida. I'm not 100% sure what UCF's bringing back. I know their quarterback's gone, I believe.
Mackenzie Milton, yeah,
but they got the transfer kid from Notre Dame.
Brandon Wimbush.
Wimbush went to UCF, so they got that. Some other notable games, including Washington and USC. Washington is opening as a 7.5-point favorite over USC. They play on the 28th of September, so a late September game. Speaking of Oregon and Washington and that rivalry game, that is on October 19th of next year. Washington is a 6.5-point favorite over Oregon right now.
It's in Seattle, and I know the quarterback difference is maybe one for Duck fan to think, okay, we can win that game, and maybe you will, but I don't really blame them for that line being in Seattle. A little bit uncertainty offensively, I think, for Oregon, especially on the road. What did Oregon show you offensively on the road that left you a lot really hopeful?
Well, you don't remember that thrilling Red Box Bowl performance when they were slinging it all over the place?
7-6.
It's great defense.
Yeah, it was.
So they're 6.5-point favorites. Other Pac-12 notables, Oklahoma is at UCLA this year. The Chipper gets the Sooners early on, September 14th.
Remember, they jumped out early to the lead there in Norman last season, and then Oklahoma housed them. Yeah,
I don't remember that game. UCLA at home against Oklahoma. They are 11.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, I'll take Oklahoma Minus the 11.
The Jalen Hurts-led Sooners. The other one, ASU. Remember, they beat Michigan State last year at home. They go to Michigan State this year, and they are 4.5-point dogs to Michigan State.
I'll take ASU. Is Michigan State good? Do we know if they're ever going to be good again like they were?
I don't know much about upcoming Michigan State season.
I always wonder with D'Antonio. Is D'Antonio, yeah.
Yeah.
I always wonder D'Antonio, like, I think he's a really good college coach. Is he going to get back to being elite when he got his team to the playoff?
Yeah. Some other notable lines that I enjoyed. Oregon, Washington State fans will love this because I have to hear from them all the time. Oregon is opened as a 4.5-point favorite over Washington State. Mm-hmm. That is on October 26th.
Sure, Cougar fan loves that.
I'm sure they do because they've won 4 straight. The other Oregon line that I've seen in this, they are 1.5-point dogs against USC.
Yeah, I'll take Oregon plus the 1.5.
Again, it is on the road, so you got to figure out those road woes, but nobody's trusting USC.
Is there a chance USC surprises the living hell out of us that they become like a 8-4, 9-3 type team this year? Because nobody's giving them that, are they?
If they get the quarterback turnaround like they did with Darnold, maybe, but if they don't get that level of quarterback play, like one individual to carry the team, then no, I'm not buying it at all.
Who did they end up hiring at OC once Kingsbury burned
God, I can't even remember. What else do we got here? Alabama's a 17-point favorite against LSU. I quite enjoyed that one. Florida State, a 1.5-point favorite over Miami. Give me the Canes. And the Huskies in that rivalry game have opened as a 7-point favorite against Washington State.
I will take Washington. I'm done trying to doubt that that game's going to go differently until I actually see it. I was disappointed, though. Not that, you know, I kind of get it because of where one of the teams is going to be. I was disappointed I couldn't see a line for my Beavs in Oklahoma State because that's an August 31st game.
That's the same weekend as Oregon and Auburn. I'm curious to see what the line is going to be because it's in Corvallis, so you got the home field advantage. So that should be a good atmosphere with a prominent opponent coming in.
I'll take a guess. I'll say Oklahoma State minus 5.5.
5.5.
Beavs 5.5-point dogs.
So BetOnline.ag, they're releasing point spreads for big-time college football games next year. There are a few of them starting with Oregon and Auburn. Oregon is a slight underdog, essentially on the road, but they're calling it a neutral site game. Hey, the tournament kind of begins tonight. These are playing games, but there are games tonight. Let's take a look ahead to those and what's coming up on Thursday and Friday with Brian Bennett of The Athletic. He is a bracketologist. He's going to break it all down for us next. Hey, welcome back in. Tournament officially begins tonight, including our Fairleigh Dickinson Knights. They're playing. See if they can get a win, advance on. A couple of games tonight, a couple of games tomorrow, and then all the madness officially begins on Thursday. Joining us now to talk about all of that is Brian Bennett. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at GBrianBennett. He is a contributing writer and chief bracketologist for The Athletic, and he joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Brian, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. I wanted to start. We asked this question earlier. Does somebody label you a bracketologist? Do you label yourself a bracketologist? How does that happen?
Well, you got to go to school for 4 years, and then it's another 2 in graduate school. It's a very intense course. Now, if somebody's going to pay me to do brackets, I'm going to call myself a bracketologist.
I like that. That's a good way to look at it. So now you had the opinion. I was reading up on some of your stuff before we had you on, and there's always controversy. You think the committee got it right this year.
Yeah, there are as few things to complain about with this bracket as any as I can remember in recent years. I think they got the teams right. That's the most important thing, is getting the right teams into the field. And I think by putting Belmont in, you know, they staved off a lot of criticism about the mid-majors. And I think, you know, for the most part, the seeding and the selection of where teams are is pretty good. You know, some people will quibble with some things like Michigan State being in the East or Kansas being potentially able to play in Kansas City. But if you look at the actual bracketing rules and principles which this committee was charged with, they followed those rules, and it's kind of hard to argue with what they did.
Yeah, I was just upset that our boys Fairleigh Dickinson has to play a play-in game because we talked to their coach. He was amazing. He was fun. I hope they get in the tournament. The one area I really wanted to address with you, when you fill out the brackets, I do 3 brackets. I don't know how many you fill out, if you just do one, if you don't do any. But one of them, I have Gonzaga losing their second game to Syracuse. Now, I'm also a moron, so just school me in your thoughts on Gonzaga and how far you think the Zags can get this year.
Well, I think the committee did them no favors at all. They did give them a 1 seed, which was a little shaky there toward the end. But boy, this is a tough road for them. They, you know, Syracuse has done this to a lot of teams in the last couple of years, where you get in that second round match up with them, they throw that 2-3 zone at you, and you're just not ready for it. And with the day to prepare, with their length, you know, they can really disrupt teams. I think Gonzaga will be a little bit more prepared for it this time. They did play Washington earlier this year, which runs a very similar kind of zone, so that we'll have that to fall back on. But that is going to be as tough a second-round game as any one seed will face. And if they win that, they could potentially play Florida State, who beat them solidly last year in the Sweet 16. So those are two potentially really tough games for Gonzaga. They're going to have to be on their A game to come out of this region.
We're talking with Brian Bennett. He is a chief bracketologist for The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter, at @GBrianBennett. Looking at some of these other matchups officially on Thursday and Friday, just in the first round, which ones are you most excited for?
I'm really looking forward to watching LSU-Yale. such a contrast, right? Where you've got the Will Wade situation going on at LSU, and then you've got the plucky little Ivy Leaguers who can never catch a break in life, right? But, you just don't know how LSU is going to respond to that game. And, I think that could be a really fun one to watch. Of course, the Marquette-Murray State game, John Morant and Marcus Howard, if he's healthy, is just going to be fantastic. And, and closer to home here, I think Wisconsin-Oregon could be really interesting. Not interesting in, necessarily a track meet. I mean, this could end up being like 45-43 or something like that. But I think it's going to be a really close game and a really fun one.
Well, Brian, I had seen earlier that somebody made a note that Oregon-Wisconsin's the most bet-on game in the tournament right now in Vegas, and 70% of the bets are going on Oregon to win this. We talked about it yesterday. There's just kind of a feel that everybody is super confident that this is an easy matchup for them, that they could even potentially get to a Sweet 16. What are we not thinking about or taking into account, I should say, with Wisconsin and who they've been this season?
Sure. Well, first of all, I don't think Oregon could have asked for a better situation, not even being in the tournament until a couple of days ago. And then, getting to stay in San Jose and getting to play on Friday after winning four games in 4 days. Those are all really good things for them. Wisconsin, the good thing about it from an Oregon point of view is that's not a team that's going to score a whole lot of points. And with Oregon's defense, that could turn this into a really low-scoring game, as we said. But, Wisconsin's comfortable playing a game like that. And they've got a guy, Ethan Happ, who, even though Kenny Wooten is a great shot blocker, if you ever watch Ethan Happ play, he has some of the best footwork you've ever seen. He's not, overpowering athletically, but he just knows how to make a variety of moves and protect the ball, and he never seems to get a shot block. He's a really, really good player, and that's the one reason I'd be really scared about this game for Oregon.
And we're talking with Brian Bennett. He's a contributor writer and chief bracketologist for The Athletic, at @GBrianBennett on Twitter. Give him a follow. Who is a title dark horse of you? It feels like everybody is always focuses on, well, of course, Duke this year, but then the other number one seeds. Who's a dark horse, maybe a three seed or lower, that you're looking at that has a really good chance at making a run to a Final Four or a national championship?
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick Florida State to come out of the West. They're a four seed. They've been playing incredibly well since January, since they got their full lineup healthy. And if you ever watch them play, they've got a ton of athletes. You saw it in the ACC tournament. They beat Virginia, beat them pretty solidly. They're playing really, really well right now. We saw them beat Gonzaga again last year by double digits, I believe, in the Sweet 16. And then fell to Michigan in a pretty close game. They could be an exact repeat of those games this year, which is crazy, in the West. Last year was in L.A. It could be in Anaheim. So I like their matchup if they get it with Gonzaga. I'd like their matchup if they got it with Michigan or Texas Tech, which is, a really good team, but not a great scoring team or super athletic in its own right. So they're kind of my dark horse at this point. Watch them lose to Vermont now in the first round. But
that's the way it goes, yeah.
I like a lot of the teams in the West. It's unfortunate. A lot of my dark horses are in the same region because I love Buffalo. I think if Nevada gets hot, they can make a run. And of course, Texas Tech, another really good team, but they all seem to be in the West. Yeah.
So what does the committee do, Brian, next year when Virginia has a great year, but they had back-to-back 16 seeds beat them as a one?
They don't do anything because it's all a regular season situation. So you can't take into account the previous years. But if I'm Virginia, maybe I try to play down to a two.
Well, how much do you trust Virginia this year?
I actually trust them quite a bit. I've got them going to my championship game right now, and I'm probably going to look like an idiot in a couple of days. But, I just think they've been great all year, and they're definitely going to come into this tournament with a chip on their shoulder. And they're better offensively than they've been in probably at any time during Tony Bennett's era there. And, the draw is not too bad for them in the South region. There's not a lot of teams there that I think are going to give them a ton of trouble. Tennessee would be a tough matchup for anybody, but they're not very big. And I think Virginia can defend them because they don't shoot well from the three-point range. So I just got a feeling they're going to come out. They're going to be breathing fire and be really mad, something to prove. Yeah, and I think they're gonna get it done this year.
Well, we mentioned Oregon, Brian, and how a lot of people are kind of liking what Oregon is, what they have going on, being in San Jose, et cetera. You got two other Pac-12 teams in Washington against Utah State, and then Arizona State has to play their way in against St. John's. Is Oregon really the only hope for the conference, in your opinion, based on what we've seen? Or do you think maybe Washington is kind of underrated here in their first matchup? Could ASU maybe make a little noise as well?
I think Arizona State could do some things. Now, their matchups aren't bad for them. You know, they like to get out and run a little bit, and they're going to play some really high-tempo games against St. John's, first of all. And St. John's has been really up and down all year long. You know, they've got an incredible amount of talent, but very inconsistent. And then you could play Buffalo, who's a good team, but again, not real big, and they're a team that loves to play fast. So I think that's going to play right in Arizona State's hands if they bring their A game, which – heck, we could see their F game. You know, you just never know with this team this year. They could be look great one week and terrible the next. So, but I think their matchups, if they could win in the first four, they'd have a shot to do a little, you know, win a couple of games. Washington, you know, I think they're going to be in a real dogfight with Utah State, who's really good. You know, Sam Merrill, one of the best players that people don't know about, Mountain West Player of the Year. So that's going to be a tough one. And then I hate their matchup with North Carolina. I think that's one of the worst teams Washington could have drawn, because they're not very big. You know, Carolina knows how to play against zones, and I just don't see them being able to score enough points to beat Carolina.
Well, and Duke, Zion, the madness around that, people saying TV execs are rooting harder for Duke to get the title game than any team they have in 20-some years. How are you feeling about the Dukies? I have them, not that you care, because, you know, it's my bracket, not yours, but I have them losing to Michigan State. Do you have them in your Final Four? How do you feel about Duke's chances to win this whole thing with freshmen?
Yeah, I'm going to pick them to win it all, just because I think they're the best team. I think of all the teams, if you look at who do you trust to win six games, I trust them more than anything, even though they can have a really bad shooting night. We've seen that before. But they've had really bad shooting nights and still won. And Zion is just so, so good. I don't know who's going to stop him. But you mentioned the Michigan State. I think that, you know, people complain. I mean, a lot of Michigan State fans complain to me about their seed. But if I'm Duke, I would complain about that seeding as well, because that's probably the toughest two they would have drawn, mm-hmm. given Michigan State's toughness and a great point guard in Cassius Winston who can control the action. And that is not going to be an easy game. And when you look at the rest of that region, I just don't see any other teams that are really going to make a run. So I do think we're going to see that game in Elite Eight, and I think it could be an all-time classic.
There you go. Hey, we'll get you out on this one, Brian. Since you are a bracketologist, we have to ask you officially, what is the okay or acceptable number of brackets one person can fill out?
I say it's one, but, you know, I'd like to have the one true bracket. You know, that's just me, though. Wow. I'm a purist.
I love it. I love it.
That hurts my soul, Brian. I like to do three every year.
See, we got these people doing multiple brackets, and then they brag about all the games they got right in their ninth bracket, you know?
This is false. This is
100%. That's the one thing. You can fill out multiple brackets, but you're not allowed to brag about getting anything right.
There you go. There you go. That's the right answer. We love it. Brian Bennett, great stuff. He's in Portland. You live in Portland, right?
I sure do. I love it here.
Look at that. Beautiful weather outside.
Get him back on after maybe the first round.
Yeah, there you go. Great stuff. He's a chief bracketologist, contributing writer for The Athletic, at G. Brian Bennett on Twitter. Give him a follow. Brian, thanks so much, man. Enjoy this great weather and enjoy the start of the tournament.
Yeah, I think I'll be inside all week watching basketball, but it is great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
There you go. Brian Bennett of The Athletic. He joined us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild hotline. So he trusts Virginia.
He's got him losing to Duke, it sounds like.
And his sleeper pick.
Yep.
Florida State.
Yeah, Leonard Hamilton's got his boys balling the last couple years, and I know they lost that ACC title game to Duke, but look, from what I've seen from Florida State for 2-3 years now, they have a certain athlete that they're able to get. I think Leonard Hamilton is an underrated coach in college basketball, but to his point, he's probably going to be wrong. They'll lose their first game.
That's the beauty of the tournament. Nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. We all just are making educated guesses on what we've seen.
Also seems way out on Gonzaga. That's kind of the vibe I got.
He didn't seem too in on Gonzaga.
Like, he didn't think my idea that Cuse could beat Gonzaga is crazy.
He said tough matchup. You get that 2-3 zone. Although he did bring up a good point. Them seeing Washington maybe helps because they're running Syracuse light, if you will, in Seattle. So, you know, slight benefit there. So, great stuff from Brian Bennett. We'll get into the games tonight. Our Fairleigh Dickinson Knights are riding into battle today at 3:40. Can they get a win? Also, Sprague had a note on a gambling issue in the NCAA tournament. I want to bring that back up. And we have poll questions to answer. All of that is next on The Fan. Quick NFL note for you. The Dallas Cowboys have agreed to a deal with Randall Cobb. That does anything for you. He signed a one-year, $5 million contract.
Is he still good?
Yeah.
Would you take him over Cole Beasley?
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah, I would. I remember the only highlight. Green Bay just had such an underwhelming season last year that there's not a lot of highlights in Randall Cobb that stick out. But
he did get hurt.
I do remember his. He had the big touchdown, I believe, in their comeback win over Chicago.
First game of the year.
In week one when they were down big. The Cowboys depth chart now has 5 wide receivers who were not on their depth chart at this point last year. Randall Cobb, Amari Cooper, Allen Hurns, Michael Gallup, and Tavon Austin. So there you go. He is going to the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, coming up tonight, there are a couple of things going on. First, in the NBA, not much to keep an eye on tonight. You got the Lakers and Bucks playing on NBA TV. LeBron and Giannis aren't playing.
And
Brogdon's still out injured for the Bucks too.
So, like, Darren Rovell is a very controversial figure in sports media. He's a nerd, and then he kind of gives you some cool tidbits, and he gets destroyed on the internet all the time. He pointed out somebody paid $6,700 for courtside seats for that game.
Are you kidding me?
And now they're both out.
That's brutal. I would demand my money back. Load management, BS, LeBron and Giannis not playing. So, in terms of like standings for the Blazers, not a whole lot to keep an eye on. You do have the official beginning, if you want to call it that, of the Major League Baseball season.
Okay.
2:30 a.m. on ESPN. Is anybody getting up and watching?
Sprague will be up.
By maybe the 7th inning.
You wake up and watch the end of it, turn it on?
Yeah, I'll probably do that. Check in just to see. But
yeah, you got a 4-hour game. That thing could end at 6:30.
Here's the thing. It doesn't feel right.
No, because it's not the start of the season. No. The season starts on March 28th.
Yeah, I want to wear my Braves hat. Yeah. You're going to wear your Giants hat, your Dodgers. Like, we all walk in here opening. Well, you won't because you'd be gone. But we walk in here opening day.
Yeah, it's opening day.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
And this is
not a thing.
2:30 in the morning?
The A's are the favorite if you're into that kind of thing. But 2:30 in the morning, Marco Gonzalez versus Mike Fiers. There's your starting matchup.
Say it again? The matchup? Sorry.
Marco Gonzalez.
Okay.
And Mike Fiers. I think Fiers is how you say his last name. Is that how you say it?
Is it Freers?
Fiers.
One's the A?
He's the A. Marco Gonzalez is the Mariner. You remember him? He went to Gonzaga. He had Tommy John surgery. No. Yeah, he's their opening day starter.
Okay.
So catch the fever. Some people think the MLB season starts tonight, and it starts at 2:30 on ESPN. We do have a couple of college basketball games tonight. Temple and Belmont, that's just who cares, right? Our Fairleigh Dickinson Knights.
Come on, baby!
Taking on Prairie View A&M. They are 2-point favorite.
They need to get in the tournament.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
T-neck jersey, stand up.
Let's go. Let's go, Knights.
Come on, Horrenda.
Go riding into the field of 64 in your shining armor.
He's going to ride a GD unicorn over a rainbow when they win this game.
They are favored by 2. That is on True TV. Both games are on True TV tonight.
Who do they play if they do?
Gonzaga.
They get Gonzaga.
Oh, bring it on, Zags.
Stop that dog barking.
Let's get through Prairie View A&M first, though.
You ain't playing in the kennel, puppies. Sorry.
So that's going on tonight. The tournament starts. A couple of games today. Arizona State plays tomorrow. We'll have more on that. By the way, Stephen A. Smith asked Jeff Passan.
Yes, on his radio show. I retweeted it with the show account.
What kind of pressure the Mike Trout deal will put on Mike Socha? Mike Socha's no longer the manager.
I haven't heard it, but I hope Jeff Passan said,
are you an idiot?
He's not the manager there anymore.
Which Will Ferrell movie is the funniest? 50% of you said Step Brothers. Anybody who says he's not funny is going to get blocked. Which Pac-12 team advances the furthest of the tournament?
A bit extreme.
67% of you said Oregon. Does the tournament start tonight? 79% of you say no.
Good! Yeah!
No.
21% of you, what are you talking about? Tournament doesn't start today.
Mike Trout deal, time will tell. 38% if it's a good deal. Way to take the easy way. There you go. That'll do it for us. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday Let's Drop Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.